ॐ हरि ओम ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. May the divine being look over us lovingly as a mother and father. May the divine being support and nourish us as a mother and father. May we have the strength and skill to study together the art of spirituality. May no misunderstandings arise amongst us. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto us and to all beloved beings everywhere. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday morning gathering of the congregation. This morning we'll have a little do-si-do with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Next Sunday, March 28th, Dr. Lloyd Allen of the McAfee School of Theology at Mercer University will speak to us about stages of faith, killing lesser gods. His talk will be on the work and thoughts of Thomas Merton. That'll be next Sunday. You may want to mark your calendar. The way it looks now, our first face-to-face meeting as a congregation this year will be on July 4th. If all goes according to plan, the government's plans and our plans, we should all be vaccinated by then, and so we would be good to go. We should be vaccinated and safe, as it were.
Woohoo!
Yes, that's how I feel about it too. Again, welcome. I have one other announcement. Our newly revised and very lovely website has been launched. I recommend that you all go and have a look at it. VedantaAtlanta.org. It is a real, you'll see so many improvements. So much. And it's fun as well as everything else.
There are some cleanup I'm still doing with the old archives, but I'm going through the previous years. So if you see, pull one, an older one up and it doesn't look right, I know that it's not, that it doesn't look right and it'll be fixed. Just comment.
Thank you very much, Sarda. Thank you. Okay, again, welcome. Can anyone think of any other announcement that I should have made that I didn't make?
Brother Shankar?
Yes, Bhagirath.
One more very, very encouraging thing. Emory University, the Department of Religion, has added 3 chaplains to their School of Religion. One of them Buddhist, one of them Jewish, and one of them India. The one from India, she is Brahmacharini something. So she is going to be a coordinator for Hindu religion, and so many activities like that will be on the campus from now on. And I'm getting a chance to meet her, but sometime we would love for her to come and address our center also. Oh,
please, please do bring her. I will be happy to trade war stories with her about being a campus minister. I served in that role for a while. It's a wonderful thing. Students are such a varied particularly interesting time of life. They're in a particularly interesting time of life. So thank you, Bhagirath. Thank you for that announcement. Anything else from anyone? All right. The topic today is Chaitanya's Prayer, the Perfect Primer. March is a month for the study of Raja Yoga, a spiritual path often called the Yoga of Meditation. As a Raja Yogi, you use ancient, proven spiritual techniques to quiet your mind and gain control of your attention. Regular daily practice of Raja Yoga increases your ability to concentrate and may lead to meditation. This can unite you with the divine presence, the source of your being, and liberate you from the cycle of rebirth and death. Raja Yogis call this state of liberation Kaivalya, independence, independence of all limitation, of all conditioning. So and I'll explain why Chaitanya's Prayer, which is usually thought of as a devotional, Chaitanya is usually thought of as the crowning jewel of bhakti, why Chaitanya's Prayer fits right in with Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. Now next Sunday, the 28th, will be celebrated this year as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthday. Ordinarily, this talk would have been given on that day. Yet since it was most convenient for Dr. Allen to speak with us on the 28th, we're marking the golden avatars, Gauranga's birthday today. Sri Chaitanya was known to have a golden complexion. He was said to be an incarnation of both Radha and Krishna together in one body. And so that's what explains the golden complexion. At least that's one explanation. But from the perspective we're talking about today, we'll come at it this way. Every great teacher, incarnation, avatar, brings a special message to suffering humanity. Each one tells us how to move from where we find ourselves at this moment to the realization of our true original nature, or to achieve the knowledge of God. Now, of course, we're familiar with these names, Rama, Krishna, Christ, Buddha, Shankara, and Sri Ramakrishna, and not everyone is as familiar with Chaitanya. This morning, we'll take up the message of Chaitanya as offered to us in his prayer, as interpreted by Swami Prabhavananda and Christopher Isherwood. The prayer is recited here during morning arati. It is also heard in the temples, convents, and monasteries of the Vedanta Society of Southern California, at Vivekananda Retreat Ridgely, and other Vedanta centers in the U.S. Chaitanya's prayer brings the practice, goal, and results of chanting the divine name, Nama Japa, into sharp focus in about 3 minutes. It is therefore a primer in the truest sense of the word. The prayer's tone and language are intense. It can be thought of as one of the most beautiful love songs ever written. Now I'll explain how this Nama Japa fits into Raja Yoga. If you read chapter 2 of Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, he strongly recommends taking refuge in the divine name. And this has been interpreted by both Swami Vivekananda and Swami Prabhavananda, listening to Sri Ramakrishna tell us that chanting the name of the Lord is the most appropriate form of contemplation, concentration, and meditation for this time, the end of the Kali Yuga. So this fits right in with Patanjali's way of thinking by saying that this is one of the best ways to achieve meditation, repeating the divine name, Nama Japa. In his prayer, Chaitanya calls forth the heart's bliss, instructs the mind in how to overcome obstacles, and in the voice of a spiritually awakening heart and soul, speaks lovingly and directly to the divine within. This morning, we will explore the prayer and its teachings. We'll include an introduction to Sri Chaitanya and some discussion of the high regard in which that saint was held by Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Vivekananda. So who is Chaitanya? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu means great lord, is regarded by millions in India and elsewhere as an incarnation of God, a reincarnation of Radhakrishna, who lived approximately 5,000 years ago. There are different dates, but approximately 5,000 years ago. Many disciples and followers of Sri Ramakrishna also think of Chaitanya as a previous incarnation of the Master. Sri Chaitanya was born in West Bengal, India, in 1485, 536 years ago. Swami Vivekananda, after this Swami will simply be referred to as Swamiji. You've heard that. Swami Vivekananda is Swamiji. Swamiji had this to say about Chaitanya. This is a quote. The brightest of India's prophets of comparatively modern times in the north was Chaitanya. This one great northern sage, Chaitanya, represented the mad love of the gopis for Sri Krishna. Chaitanya was a Brahmin, born of one of the most rationalistic families of the day, himself a professor of logic, fighting and gaining word victories. For this, he had learnt from his childhood as the highest ideal of life. And yet, through the mercy of some sage, the whole life of that man became changed. He gave up his fight, his quarrels, his professorship of logic, and became one of the greatest teachers of bhakti the world has ever known. And he was known as Mad Chaitanya. Just a side note, breaking the quote, he also became a monk, a sannyasi. About that, Sri Ramakrishna said, Chaitanya Deva became a sannyasi so that all would salute him. Whoever salutes an incarnation, even once, obtains liberation. Let us have ears to hear. This you'll find if you want to know where this quote is embedded. It's in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna on page 717. Chaitanya Deva became a sannyasi so that all would salute him. Whoever salutes an incarnation, even once, obtains liberation. So back to the quote from Swamiji. Chaitanya's bhakti rolled over the whole land of Bengal, bringing solace to everyone. His love knew no bounds. The saint or the sinner, the Hindu or the Mohammedan, the pure or the impure, the prostitute, the streetwalker, all had a share in his love. All had a share in his mercy. So that's the end of the quote from Swamiji about who Chaitanya was and the nature of his ministry. So here we have a respected Brahmin, a famous pundit of his time and place, a great success in the world, as we usually think of success, and Chaitanya renounces it all to become a wandering monk, singing and dancing madly along the roads and pathways of Bengal, chanting the name of Hari, Krishna, over and over again in ecstatic bliss. What happened to Chaitanya? Listen to Swami Ranganathananda. This is from his book, Divine Grace. That is the way in spiritual life. First you strengthen yourself, assert yourself, and then sacrifice yourself. Deny yourself and surrender to God through super strength. That is the correct attitude and way. First comes manliness, or womanliness. He was speaking to an audience of men in 1978 in Perth, Australia. First comes manliness, then comes saintliness or godliness. Even your erect your saintliness on your manliness, then you will be, that will be a powerful saintliness. Erect your saintliness on your manliness. That will be a powerful saintliness. So work hard, build up your individuality, and then when you are strong and spiritually mature, you look up and see a greater courage and a greater strength beckoning you, which makes you experience and say, not I, but thou, thy will be done. In other words, surrender. As we know, Ranganathananda goes on to develop these thoughts beautifully in his book. He refers to the Bhagavad Gita, the works of Shankaracharya, and many other sources, as he writes, and this was a talk that he gave, and then he formed it into a book. As he writes about how to move from a high state of worldly achievement to a great spiritual awakening. Yet even though his book is pocket size, it would be quite a challenge to memorize all of the Swami's observations and instructions. Not so Sri Chaitanya's lesson plan. His primer on how to progress from a confession that one is utterly without devotion to the Lord, to finally saying, do with me what thou wilt, for thou art my heart's beloved, thou and thou alone, is only 45 lines long. We can legitimately call that a primer. It is a short tutorial that covers the basic elements of a subject and is memorable. It's interesting to note that in Middle English, primer actually meant devotional manual. So before I recite the prayer, are there any comments or questions that you'd like to make about what was said so far? Anyone at all? Anything that needs clarification? Any comment that you'd like to make from your own experience?
I have a question, please.
Yes.
Who was the person who inspired him to change totally from a logical, rational kind of living?
There are several stories about that, Uma. It's unclear. That's why Swami Vivekananda doesn't name the saint that blessed him in this way. So if you read the life of Sri Chaitanya, and there are several biographies that are worth your attention. A couple of them by monks of the Ramakrishna order. You will see that there, it's not quite clear, just exactly, you know, so that's why neither Swami Vivekananda nor I mentioned the name of the saint.
I see.
But it was clear from what Chaitanya said, that he came to his students after this transformation took place. He gathered with his students and he was talking to them about Nama Japa. He was talking to them about chanting the name of the Lord and so on. And they said, but we came here for logic. Where are your teachings about logic? And Chaitanya said, oh, well, you will have to go elsewhere now. This is what I have to offer. And so he abandoned that, that series of classrooms and instruction. It's just unclear, Uma, who it was.
Okay,
thanks for asking the question.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Anything?
Shankara?
Yes,
Lori. Can you tell us a little bit more about Radhakrishna?
Well, there'll be more as we go along, but Radha and Krishna are the two principal players, you could say, in the Rasa Leela, the sweet Leela of Sri Krishna when he was in Vrindavan. She was the chief of the gopis, the head milkmaid, and she was, according to Sri Ramakrishna and others, an incarnation of the Divine Mother, as we would expect with an incarnation of the Divine Masculine. There always comes the Divine Feminine. So Radha was absolutely her devotion and her mad love of Krishna knew no bounds. And so if you want to know more about that, then the word to look up is Rasa Leela, Rasalila, Rasa Leela of Sri Krishna and Radha. Radha was the, and she was, you know, Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother both remembered their having been Krishna and Radha. So when they went to Vrindavan, when the master went to Vrindavan, and he was very reluctant to leave, and Mother also, when she went there on pilgrimage, found it very difficult to pull herself away.
So he's considered to be a reincarnation of both Radha and Krishna.
That's the story.
Thank you. So
that they would know their divine union, they were incarnated as one being. This is how it's spoken of, including by Sri Ramakrishna.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking the question, Lori. Anything else from anyone?
One thing I would like to add. Those who are interested in Radha and Krishna's love story, they may read Jayadeva's classic Gita Govindam. Gita Govindam.
Yes,
which is my Jayadeva.
That's one of the stories of the Rasa Leela. Okay, so here's the prayer. And I'll recite it slowly, but it will be, a copy of it will be available to you as a PDF along with the notes for this talk. on the website sometime this coming week. So you don't have to take notes on the
good.
Shankar, already I put the link to the PDF in the chat.
Oh, very good. Okay. So it's already available to you if you want to download.
I don't have to make notes. That's good.
All right. Here is Chaitanya's prayer as translated, and this is a translation, not an interpretation. It's a translation by Swami Prabhavananda. The English was, of course, smoothed by Christopher Isherwood. Chant the name of the Lord and his glory unceasingly, that the mirror of the heart may be wiped clean and quenched that mighty forest fire, worldly lust, raging furiously within. O name, stream down in moonlight on the lotus heart, opening its cup to knowledge of thyself. O self, drown deep in the waves of his bliss, chanting his name continually, tasting his nectar at every step, bathing in his name, that bath for weary souls. Various are thy names, O Lord, in each and every name thy power resides. No times are set, no rites are needful for chanting of thy name, so vast is thy mercy. How huge then is my wretchedness, who find in this empty life and heart no devotion to thy name. O my mind, be humbler than a blade of grass. Be patient and forbearing like the tree. Take no honor to thyself. Give honor to all. Chant unceasingly the name of the Lord. O Lord and soul of the universe, mine is no prayer for wealth or retinue, the playthings of lust or the toys of fame. As many times as I may be reborn, grant me, O Lord, a steadfast love for thee. A drowning man in this world's fearful ocean is thy servant, O sweet one. In thy mercy, consider him as dust beneath thy feet. How I long for the day when an instant separation from thee, O Govinda, will be as a thousand years, when my heart burns away with its desire and the world without thee is a heartless void. Prostrate at thy feet let me be in unwavering devotion, neither imploring the embrace of thine arms, nor bewailing the withdrawal of thy presence, though it tears my soul asunder. O thou who stealest the hearts of thy devotees, do with me what thou wilt, for thou art my heart's beloved, thou and thou alone. So that's Chaitanya's prayer. Let's unpack it. We'll look closely at the profoundly poetic images of what was just recited. The first line is a simple, straightforward call to action. Chant the name of the Lord and his glory unceasingly. What does Chaitanya mean by glory? Swami Prabhavananda often recited this hymn at the beginning or end of a talk. So this is illustrative of what Chaitanya means by chant the name of the Lord and his glory unceasingly. Prabhavananda would often recite, "Our salutations to that supreme being, who is one without a second, whom the sage calls, our salutations to that supreme being who is one without a second, whom the sages call by various names. Our salutations to him whose glory has been sung through the rapturous hymns of the worlds, and whose limitless and infinite glory none can comprehend, but again whom the sages and devotees realize within their deepest contemplation. Him we salute again and again. May he shine in our hearts, manifest there in all his glory, and dispel all darkness and ignorance. So the call to action: chant the name of the Lord and his glory unceasingly. Unceasingly? Don't we have other things to do? Really? Why should we go to all that trouble? Well, according to the New Testament, the way of the pilgrim, and our own Sri Ramakrishna, Sarada Devi, Swamiji, and Swami Brahmananda, the results are worth the effort. First, from the New Testament. This is from the website, The Community of the Beatitudes. We are all called to pray without ceasing, says St. Paul in 1 Thessalonians. The real question is, how? As we'll see, the Jesus prayer provides one good way to pray constantly. Our task is to draw nearer to God. Saint Isaac of Syria says that it is impossible to draw near to God by any means other than increasing prayer. So that's a quote from that Community of the Beatitudes. Next, from the book The Way of a Pilgrim, these quotes are on the website hermitary.com. Quote, the pilgrim recalls how he heard St. Paul's admonition to pray ceaselessly and has set out to discover how. He finds an Eastern Orthodox teacher, a Staritz. It is the simple advice of the Staritz that falls like a revelation upon his ears. The teacher said, sit down in silence, lower your head, shut your eyes, breathe out gently, and imagine yourself looking into your own heart. Carry your mind, that is your thoughts, from your head to your heart. Carry your thoughts, that is your, carry your mind, that is your thoughts, from your head to your heart. As you breathe out, say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Say it moving your lips gently, or simply say it in your mind. Try to put all other thoughts aside. Be calm, be patient, and repeat the process very frequently. And that is all. Soon, as the Staritz had suggested, the pilgrim found the prayer at his lips and in his mind every waking hour, as spontaneous and effortless as his breath itself. This is from the book, The Way of the Pilgrim. I wanted to bring this into focus because I wanted it to be clear that this is not something that is just known to us. It is known to the Christians. It is known to the Sufis. It is known, for that matter, to those people who live in the Andes Mountains of South America. Our own beloved teachers say this about constant prayer. Sri Ramakrishna, this is a quote from Sri Ramakrishna. Japa means silently repeating God's name in solitude. When you chant his name with single-minded devotion, you can see God's form and realize him. Suppose there is a piece of timber sunk in the waters of the Ganges and fastened with a chain to the bank. You proceed link by link, holding to the chain, and you dive into the water and follow the chain. Finally, you're able to reach the timber. In the same way, by repeating God's name, you become absorbed in him and finally realize him. Sri Sharada Devi, the Holy Mother. The mantra purifies the body. Man becomes pure by repeating the name of God. So repeat his name always. The name of God is more powerful than the senses. Prayer to God makes your heart as pure as the star. As a result of sincere and regular japa and meditation, you will find that God will speak to you. All your desires will be fulfilled, and you will experience pure bliss. Even the injunctions of destiny are canceled if one takes refuge in God. Destiny strikes off with her own hands what has been written about such a person. Swamiji, prayer and praise are the first means of growth. Repeating the name of God has wonderful power. Mantra is a special word. Now, this explains why I'm going to repeat this. It explains why Mother said that repeating the mantra makes your body pure, changes your body, transforms it. Swami Vivekananda, Swami, prayer and praise are the first means of growth. Repeating the names of God has wonderful power. Mantra is a special word, or sacred text, or name of God chosen by the Guru. Mantra is a special word or sacred text or name of God chosen by the Guru for repetition and reflection by the disciple. The disciple must concentrate on a personality for prayer and praise. These words, mantras, are not sounds of words, but God himself. And we have them within us. Think of him, speak of him. Buddha's Sermon on the Mount was, as thou thinkest, so art thou. In other words, if you tune your thoughts to a different vibration, it creates a different body, a different mind. Raja Maharaj, Swami Brahmananda, practice japam and meditation regularly. Do not miss even one day. Try repeatedly to steady the mind by fixing it on a name or form of God. And at last, you will become absorbed in him. If you continue your practice for 2 or 3 years, you will begin to feel an unspeakable joy, and the mind will become steady. At first, you must forcibly pour the thought of God into your mind. Then, as you persist, you will be flooded with joy. All these great teachers just quoted agree. The results of chanting the Lord's name unceasingly to indeed justify the effort. So what does Chaitanya himself say are the effects of unceasingly chanting the Lord's name? He starts with two astounding summary assertions. The mirror of the heart may be wiped clean and quenched that mighty forest fire, worldly lust, raging furiously within. Now the mirror of the heart, as we know from the work of Patanjali and of Jill Bolte Taylor, we have two realms within us. The realm of the left hemisphere mind and the realm of the right hemisphere mind. The left hemisphere mind is tied to the third spiritual center in the body. And it is the source of this mighty forest fire, the thoughts, the desires, the restlessness. And the heart is tied to the right hemisphere. And it has the ability, when wiped clean by this transformative power of the Lord's name, it has the power to reflect clearly the divinity that is the source of your being. So the first assertion, the mirror of the heart will be wiped clean. Swami Sridharananda, a senior Swami of the Ramakrishna order, was asked about this image. He said, this is a quote from Sridharananda. He actually said this to me. Repetition of the name, your mantra, is like a very soft cloth, slowly and slowly, very naturally, wiping away layer after layer of accumulated dust until at last is revealed an ancient mirror and an image in that mirror of unimaginable, incomparable beauty. That mirror both is and reflects the self, your inmost being, your true original nature. So I'm going to repeat what the Swami said. Repetition of the name, your mantra, is like a very soft cloth, slowly and slowly, very naturally wiping away layer after layer of accumulated dust until at last is revealed an ancient mirror, an image in that mirror of unimaginable, incomparable beauty. That mirror both is and reflects the self, your inmost being, your true original nature. That which, and now that's the end of the quote from the Swami. That which we struggle and yearn for as we run after this and that, that and this, as we chase the divine, the truth, in its limited forms, distorted and diluted by Maya, it always has been, right here, waiting for us. Second assertion by Sri Chaitanya, that mighty forest fire, worldly lust, raging furiously will be, that mighty forest fire, worldly lust, raging furiously within, will be quenched. That means extinguished. It means the unceasing restlessness and chatter of the left mind, of the left hemisphere, will be quenched. That doesn't mean its capabilities and its tools will be unavailable to us. It simply means that it becomes purified. And in Sri Ramakrishna's words, it becomes like a shy child. The unripe ego becomes the ripe ego and is no longer a constant struggle for us. Doesn't go away entirely as long as we're embodied. But we know, as Sri Chaitanya says, and as Jill Bhakti Taylor says, and as Patanjali says, we have a refuge elsewhere to which we have recourse whenever we find the troubles and assertions of the left mind too troubling. Sri Chaitanya promises that if we indeed chant the name of the Lord and his glory unceasingly, that forest fire of lust for the world, that forest fire of lust for the world raging furiously within us will be dead. The forest fire. Can any of us pretend we don't know what is meant by his words, mighty forest fire? Just think for a moment about cartoonists. They have our number. They really do have our number. Think of an animated cartoon. We've all seen them. Think of an animated cartoon that features some young guy cruising along in his shiny new convertible. He passes an attractive young woman strolling down the street, and boing, his cartoon eyes pop right out of his head, right out of his head, as he ogles that woman. What the artist is showing us is that our senses don't just quietly lie in wait for sensations. Oh no. They reach out for stimulus. They rage after what they desire. And they argue with us vehemently when we try to restrain them. Maybe you're driving down the avenue and you spot a sign that says, if it is something sweet, cold, and creamy you crave, come to McDonald's for an ice cream cone. Only 99 cents. Good copy. Gotcha. But you think to yourself reasonably, yes, but I know perfectly well I don't need that cone, those extra empty calories, and the mind right away talks back. But it's low fat, and it's only 99 cents. Unless you yield to that voice of temptation as you drive by the McDonald's in the next block, the senses that crave that sweet, cold, and creamy treat will probably chatter at you all the way home. And when you get there, they will remind you there's a fudgesicle in the freezer. So this is what's meant by the forest fire raging furiously within. And it's also why, if with that mind chatters to us, we have a recourse, even while we're driving the car, to our mantra. Swami Vivekananda, Swamiji, in his commentary on Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, and elsewhere, offers detailed explanations of why and how Chaitanya's promise is actually kept. You can find a great deal of it in the preface and introduction, and I can't recommend highly enough reading that preface and introduction to the to Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, which was published as Swamiji's book, Raja Yoga. For here and now, suffice it to say that Swamiji affirms chanting the name Japa, Nama Japa, actually does calm the mind so deeply that lust for the things of the world loses its grip on your consciousness and on your actions. In your four poetically charged lines, Chaitanya has made his case for what you are to do. Chant the Lord's name and glory unceasingly. And the results you can expect to achieve if you do as he asks. Your true original nature will be revealed in all its splendor. Your experience of that splendor will no longer be fragmented and lost among ever self-renewing, unsatisfiable cravings. Sri Chaitanya continues his instructions. First, he says, ask the Lord directly for what you need to begin and start to move ahead. O name, stream down in moonlight on the lotus heart, opening its cup to knowledge of thyself. O name, stream down in moonlight on the lotus heart, opening its cup to knowledge of thyself. As Swami Vivekananda points out, the knowledge is already there within us. This reflected glory of the name streaming down in moonlight serves only to dispel and quiet that which distracts us from what we already know. The Chandi, the Devi Mahatmyam, speaking of the mother of the universe, you are of the form of moon and moonlight and happiness itself. This is what the Chandi says of the mother. You are of the form of the moon and moonlight and happiness itself. That's the end of the quote. Moonlight is the reflected glory of the sun and sunlight. Our nervous systems, this space suit, this action and experience suit we wear, is not capable of taking the direct exposure. To the full strength of the sun, so to speak. So we need the reflection. We need the reflection. But it's when it's an accurate reflection, it contains everything. Swami Yatishwarananda, for those of you who don't know, Swami Yatishwarananda was Swami Yogeshananda's guru, his first teacher. He was a disciple of Swami Brahmananda and served as a vice president of the Ramakrishna Order. He commented, "The spiritual aspirant feels there is a lotus at the level of the heart, the petals of which are directed downwards. When this center is reached by the mind, by the reflected glory, the bud of the lotus opens and the petals get directed upwards. The lotus blooms. And so it becomes the cup open to receive the knowledge of God for which you are praying. Knowledge of thyself What is this knowledge? Let's go back over some quotes from our teachers about the nature of this knowledge of ourselves. Ramakrishna, when you chant his name with single-minded devotion, you see God's form and realize him. Sharada Devi, as a result of sincere and regular japa and meditation, you will find that God will speak to you. Swamiji, the disciple must concentrate on a personality for prayer and praise. These words, these mantras, are not the sounds of words, but God himself, and we have them within us. Ramananda, if you continue your practice for 2 or 3 years, you will begin to feel an unspeakable joy, and the mind will become steady. This knowledge is not book learning, not theoretical musings, not something heard from a speaker on a Sunday morning. It is direct experiential knowledge of God, yourself, found within. So in his prayer, Chaitanya then speaks directly to that self. O self, drown deep in the waves of his bliss, chanting his name continually, tasting his nectar at every step. Ramakrishna said, dive deep, O mind, dive deep into the ocean of God's beauty. If you can plunge to the uttermost depths, there you can find the gem of love. Like Om, love is a single word that says God. Another name for God, a more complex word, is Satchidananda. That bliss Chaitanya speaks of is, so to speak, one third of that term. Yet Satchidananda cannot be separated. Ananda means bliss or love. But you cannot take Satchidananda apart. It is complete. It is full. It is Purna. So it cannot be separated. So when you dive deep, when your mind is drowned in the continual chanting of the name, you're immersed not just in bliss, but in the totality of inseparable existence, knowledge, bliss, absolute. Immersed in God, Shabda Brahman. Therefore, when you truly are chanting his name continually, when your entire consciousness is suffused with the nectar of his being, Satchidananda itself transforms you. Your actions, karma, will change. And Holy Mother said, even the injunctions of destiny are canceled. Destiny will strike off with her own hands what she has written about such a person. Chaitanya continues, still speaking to the self within, bathing in his name, that bath for weary souls. If your soul is not weary, and there's no reason that it should be. This is not imperative. This is not dogma. This is not instruction for everyone everywhere. If your soul is not weary, if your soul is not weary, Chaitanya's bath probably will not be of much interest. If it is, then as Holy Mother said, man becomes pure by repeating the name of God. So repeat his name always. This will make you pure as the star. That's what a bath does, doesn't it? It makes us more pure. Over and over, we are told by the great teachers that there is great power in God's name. Even the great non-dualist Shankaracharya wrote and sang Bhaja Govindam. Sing the name of Govinda. Chaitanya underlines this and frees his recommended practice from rigidity and priestly entanglement. Various are thy names, O Lord. In each and every name thy power resides. No times are set, no rites are needful for chanting of thy name. So vast is thy mercy. Now, that series of phrases could be the subject for another talk. Chaitanya the Mad Avatar also was a rebel against religious bigotry. That fanatical devotion to one form or name of God, denouncing all others, and the incrustation that insists that a schedule of esoteric rites and rituals and ceremonies performed by others is necessary to attract God's compassion and grace. Chaitanya was another of India's great reformers, restoring eternal Vedic truths and traditions, and forthrightly denouncing religious bigotry. Not surprisingly, Swamiji clearly echoes these thoughts. Japa is repeating the holy name. Through this, the devotee rises to the infinite. This boat of sacrifice and ceremonies is very frail. We need more than that to know God. It is not necessary to go through all these ceremonials to reach the meaning of the Vedanta. So having celebrated the Lord's omnipotence, liberality, and compassion, Chaitanya also speaks for the first time in the voice of the devotee. In three stunning lines, the aspirant confesses, "How huge then is my wretchedness, who find in this empty life and heart no devotion to thy name." This is the crux, the turning point of Chaitanya's prayer. This recognition that though the Lord offers to take the yoke from his heavily laden shoulders, the devotee is yet unyielding and cannot kneel. So that the yoke can be removed. What courage it takes to make such a statement. This is not the mea culpa of a weakling. It is the powerful, honest recognition of bitter truth. The aspirant's wretchedness is of his own making. The aspirant's soliloquy continues, first directed within. O my mind, be humbler than a blade of grass. Be patient and forbearing like the tree. Take no honor to thyself. Give honor to all. Chant unceasingly the name of the Lord. The devotee reviews step by step what must be done to break his unbending pride, to gain devotion. Swami Yatishwarananda once told Swami Yogeshananda, "For every one step forward spiritually, you must take two steps ethically. Humility, patience, forbearance, modesty, magnanimity, those are ethical steps." And then the repeated instruction, Let nothing deter me from chanting the holy name. Next, addressing the Lord, the devotee affirms that discrimination and renunciation are replacing his yearnings for the attraction of the worldly life. O Lord and soul of the universe, mine is no prayer for wealth or retinue. the playthings of lust or the toys of fame. That world, that raging forest fire, worldly lust, is being quenched. O Lord and soul of the universe, mine is no prayer for wealth or retinue, the playthings of lust or the toys of fame. Instead, the aspirant now prays for the highest. As many times as I may be reborn, grant me, O Lord, a steadfast love for thee. A quick note about being reborn. Listen to this verse from the Devi Mahatmyam. Salutations be to you, O Narayani, O you in the form of minutes, moments, and other divisions of time, bring about change in things, and have thus the power to destroy the universe. Based on this premise, and on Sri Sharada Devi's promise, that even the injunctions of destiny are cancelled if one takes refuge in God, it is possible to think that you do not need to wait for another lifetime for your life to change. It is possible you can be reborn, and Mother can grant you that precious, steadfast love for the Lord this instant, this very instant. Since we can't imagine that any word of Chaitanya's prayer was written carelessly, he was, after all, a master logician, it could be that the next very dramatic lines, that in the next very dramatic lines, the Mahaprabhu also makes a small joke, a clever play on words. He wrote, "A drowning man in this world's fearful ocean is thy servant, O sweet one. In thy mercy, consider him as dust beneath thy feet." If in his mercy, the Lord makes you part of the dust beneath his feet, it's pretty clear your drowning days are over. An intimate connection with the divine is complete. Where is the world's fearful ocean then? Naturally, there's much more to these four lines than a sort of spiritual jest in seed form. They point toward one of the relationships one can have with the divine, the attitude of a servant. For indeed we are, whether we are aware of it or not, a servant of the divine will. As Sri Sharada Devi said simply, "Listen, dear, when God first created man, he endowed him with the spirit of goodness. As a result, men were born with wisdom, and it did not take them long to realize that the world was an ephemeral thing. Immediately they took the name of God and set out to meditate on him, and by his grace were liberated from the bonds of life. God thought, this will not do. This is not the way to make them play the game of life. In the end, along with the spirit of goodness, he mingled in profuse quantities of the spirit of materialism and that of vanity. And now the game of life went on with a swing." This quote starts on page 212. Of the Company of the Holy Mother by her direct disciples. So what Mother is saying is that when human beings were first created, they were endowed only with sattva. Well, because sattva is the revealing power, they were able to see clearly that the world was an ephemeral thing, and so took the name of God, as she said, and were liberated. we had to have the aspects of duality. And so to have the game of life go on, there needs to be both tamas, the concealing power, and rajas, the projecting power. Now we have a universe that works but is entangling. Think of what Sri Sharada Devi said. Each of us is serving to make God's game of life go on. That is a transformative thought indeed. After all, if we believe Tattvamasi, that thou art, then this is your game, our game, as the Atman, as Sri Krishna says. We are doing this for our own purposes. Swami Prabhavananda was fond of saying we should give every aspect of our lives a Godward turn. To apply that thought here, perhaps Chaitanya is suggesting that since we do serve the Lord's purposes, it is best if we purposefully remind the Lord and ourselves that we are his servant and ask for his merciful protection. And ask for his merciful protection. Ramakrishna once said to M, for those of you who aren't familiar, M wrote the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna said, in order to realize God, one must assume one of these attitudes, Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhur. Dasya is the attitude of a servant toward his master. Hanuman had this attitude toward Rama. He felt the strength of a lion when he worked for Rama. So Sri Ramakrishna recommends this attitude of a servant. He goes on at some length about it if you find that portion of the gospel. In the next lines of Chaitanya's prayer, we hear a devotee whose transformation is nearly complete. Unceasing repetition of the Lord's name has filled the devotee's being with the Lord's presence. Any thought of worldly achievement or pleasure has vanished. All that remains is an intense yearning for union with the beloved, called Govinda, a name of Krishna. Chaitanya wrote, how I long for the day when an instant separation from the Govinda, O Govinda, will be as a thousand years, when my heart burns away with its desire, and the world without thee is a heartless void. Many great devotional mystics have echoed this abandonment of oneself to the divine. Half the world away, a contemporary of Chaitanya, said a similar thing. O thou beloved, love eternal, my whole good, happiness which has no bounds, I desire to appropriate thee with the most vehement desire and the most worthy reverence. I desire to reserve nothing unto myself, O everlasting light, surpassing all created luminaries. Flash forth thy lightning from above, piercing all the inmost parts of my heart. Make clean, make glad, make bright, and make alive my spirit with all the powers thereof, that I may cleave to thee in ecstasies of joy. This is from Thomas A. Kempis, in his book, The Imitation of Christ, which you may remember is one of the two books that Swami Vivekananda took with him as he wandered India after the death of Sri Ramakrishna. Chaitanya, in the last nine lines of his prayer, summarizes the final stages of his devotional spiritual practice, the Madhura Brahma. the Madhura Bhava, roughly translated, the sweet mood. This is the completely selfless attitude represented by the relationship of Sri Radha to Krishna in their Leela in Vrindavan. Sri Ramakrishna called the Madhur attitude Chaitanya's greatest contribution to the spirit, to the spiritual world. Ramakrishna said, Madhur is the attitude of a woman toward her paramour. This mood includes all the other four. The last nine lines of Chaitanya's prayer are, prostrate at thy feet let me be, in unwavering devotion, neither imploring the embrace of thine arms, nor bewailing the withdrawal of thy presence, though it tears my soul asunder. O thou who stealest the hearts of thy devotees, do with me what thou wilt, for thou art my heart's beloved, thou and thou alone. So those are the last words of the prayer. Thou and thou alone. These are the first words. Chant the name of the Lord and his glory unceasingly, that the mirror of the heart may be wiped clean and quenched that mighty forest fire, worldly lust, raging furiously within. So I've gone over the hour. Of course, we can stay as long as any of you would like to stay. But if there are any comments or questions, please. Anything from anyone?
You had mentioned taking refuge in God wipes out our destiny. And for most of us, that would mean taking refuge in our chosen ideal of God, our Ishta, correct?
Yes, absolutely. The forms, and as Sri Ramakrishna affirms, the forms and formless aspects of God are endless, infinite, limitless. But that which appeals to our heart, our Ishta Devata, to that we must cleave. And that contains all of it, not just part. It is the whole, as Christ said, I and my Father are one. That which created Christ and Christ were one and the same. Anything else from anyone?
Brother Shankar, this is Katrina.
Yes, Katrina.
It just seems like just saying that continuously folk call the name of God. That's what I get. Just continuously call the name of God.
Yes. Call on the name of God. However you do it, by prayer, by mantra japa, there's that wonderful, simple prayer of the Christian teacher, the starets at the beginning, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. That has two of the words that Swami Vivekananda was talking about, these powerful words. The first is the name Christ. Christos is in Sanskrit abhija, as is the word mercy. And for any Christian who repeats that prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, as their mantra, and follows the instructions that the teacher gave, bring it to your heart, repeat it continuously, you'll find that, first of all, your understanding of what's meant by the word Christ will go on expanding and expanding, as will your understanding of the word mercy. Thank you, Katrina. That's right.
Yes, thank you. It seems like we focus more on, well, let me say me, focus more on what the Creator creates as opposed to the Creator itself.
Yes. It's wonderful how you said that. So Swami Prabhavananda said it another way. He said, everyone loves the magic, but no one wants to know the magician. Everyone loves the magic, but no one wants to know the magician. So yes, let's shift our focus from the magic to the magician. Well said, Katrina.
Thank you, Brother Shankara.
Anybody else?
Brother Shankara?
Yes, dear.
What was the name of the teacher? Did you say Staritz?
Yeah, it wasn't that's just the Russian Orthodox name for guru.
How do you spell that?
Staretz.
Okay.
And you'll find this story in that little book, and it is a little book called The Way of a Pilgrim.
Okay.
And,
right.
Starts, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, dears?
Yes. Yeah, I have something.
Yes.
You know, what we've been talking about just in these last few comments about chanting the name of the Lord, calling on God by using a mantra, or saying a prayer like Sri Chaitanya's prayer, is a way of keeping yourself preoccupied with the divine presence.
Mm-hmm.
It will distract you from the distractions of the world, mm-hmm. and keep you in that place. I love this prayer, but I've always thought of it as a little melodramatic, to be honest, parts of it, but it's just, it is demonstrating something that to me is a lot simpler. The part about, how I long for the day when an instant separation from the Govinda will be as 1,000 years. And, to me, that's just saying, you know, the magician, you know, the actual Ishta, the actual being is like your best friend or your mother, or your father, or whatever your relationship is with the divine. And you don't want to be separated from your beloved, your best friend, your mother, your father, you know, however you see the divine. And they're not this cold, stiff statue somewhere. They're real and they're warm and fuzzy and they're there.
Yeah.
And saying a mantra or saying a prayer that's meaningful to you is a way of just recollectedness. And it works. It really works.
It does. And I love the word you use, preoccupied. Keeps you preoccupied with the,
yeah,
with the divine. Yes, when we shift our attention away from the entanglements, the left mind activities, and direct the energies of the action and experience suit. What Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swami Vivekananda, Swami Brahmananda all said, what Chaitanya says, for that matter, what all the great teachers said, is that the divine becomes a reality for us. And that which has entangled us in the past becomes irrelevant. Destiny herself will strike from the book of record what is written there about you. These are Mother's words.
Brother Sakura.
Yes, Robert.
This concept seems to be enforcing the concept that we discussed in the class yesterday about focusing your attention away from the negative behavior to the source, the person. And this was talking about it in a negative sense. And now this brings it back again in a positive sense.
Yes.
That both situations, the attention needs to be focused away from the action, but to the source.
Precisely, Robert. Precisely. The action comes and goes. The action arises and passes away, as the Buddha said. The source is endless, infinite, and unchanging. And yet, because it's infinite, we can never experience the whole of it. It just keeps growing for us the more we turn our attention to it. Thank you, Robert. That's exactly right. Focus on the source. Focus away from the magic to the magician. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Keith, Brother Shankara. Really want to circle back on how remarkable Katrina's statement was. It just kind of caught me out of the blue. It's so incredibly true. And then, of course, the magician and the magic piece. So that statement is going to stick with me all day long, so I appreciate it.
Oh, good. I hope it sticks with you even longer.
Me too, my man. Me too.
Right. Well, thank you, Keith. Yes, and I really appreciated what Katrina said. Really, really, really. Anything else from anyone?
That was from the Creator.
Yes. Right. Thank you, Katrina. Yes, indeed.
Mother said that when you take refuge in God, all your karmas are wiped away. Is that what she said?
That's what she said.
Yes, I've noticed that.
Destiny herself will strike from the book of record what is written there about you. And when she said that, one of her disciples said, Mother, you mean nothing will happen? And Mother said, no. Something must happen. But if you were to receive a sword blow that would sever your leg, that will not happen. But you will receive a scratch.
Right, right. You've probably noticed that the cat I adopted likes to attend the Zoom meetings with us. And I've noticed I have protective feelings towards him, and I don't want him to see him hurt. And I imagine when we take refuge in God, the way he's taken refuge in me and my house, that's the way God feels about us. Like, oh, I don't want to see my devotee get hurt.
Yes, exactly. over and over and over in the scriptures we find. May the divine being look over us lovingly as a mother and father. May the divine being support and nourish us as a mother and father. Exactly, exactly, Brahmadas. Those that feeling of love and protection that you have toward that cat is a perfect, perfect example of the way Vishnu and Lakshmi, this is the in the Hindu vocabulary, the protector and the lover. And what did Swami Vivekananda say as he was getting ready to leave San Francisco in 1900? He said, you know, I'm going to have to come back. And the disciple that he was with said, well, what do you mean by that, Swami? Why would you have to come back? He said, well, I've fallen in love with these human beings. And if you let your heart rest on that, and just how who Swami Vivekananda is, it's very moving. Anything else from anyone?
Brother Shankara, this is Haima.
Yes, sir. Yes, Haima.
It seems every script you read about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is all Bhakti Yoga. Is he all Bhakti Yoga?
Well, he's presenting this from a Bhakti perspective.
Bhakti perspective.
Sri Ramakrishna and Patanjali take what he says and make it part of Raja Yoga, make it part of meditation. You know, that's why I presented it in a Raja context today.
And there seemed to be some Karma Yoga too. He renunciated his own wife at age 25, completely dedicated to the God.
He became a sannyasin, but he didn't abandon her to poverty and so on. His family took care of her.
Yeah.
Okay. His family was very wealthy.
Yes, thank you.
Successful family. So yes, he became a sannyasin, and he did renounce the world. But Sri Ramakrishna explained why.
Right, and I've heard Buddha be criticized for leaving his wife and child, but she was actually under the care of the king, so I mean, I think that covered him.
Exactly. He didn't have to worry about his wife and child. There was a principality of what is now Nepal, and the king, of course, took care of them. Daughter-in-law and his grandchild. And she came to greatly support him later. Anything else from anyone? All right, dears. Please join me in this aspiration, in the spirit of this prayer. It's, as we radiate this, it does make a difference. That's what everyone who says they know about these things tells us. Let us radiate peace into the world. Let there be peace in outer space. Let there be peace in the sky, on the earth, and in the water. Let there be peace in the herbs, the plants, and the trees. May the gods be peaceful. May the whole universe be pervaded by peace. Let that infinite universal peace prevail throughout my being. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace be unto us and to all beloved beings everywhere. Any final thoughts from anyone? All right. Jai Shri Guru Maharaj Ki Jai, Durga Durga Durga. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you be cheerful. May you have peace of mind. Please go forward in the divine presence's loving and protective embrace.
Thank you, Brother Shekhar.
For those of you who wish to join us, there is a Monday night reading and discussion group. The link with that is with all the others on the website and in the newsletter. And then, of course, on Tuesday night, we study the life of Holy Mother. And on Wednesday night, we're on Chapter 7 of Swami Vivekananda's Jnana Yoga. Next Saturday, we'll take up Realizing God. We're just finishing the Swami Prabhavananda's talk on yoga, Raja Yoga. And then on Sunday, Dr. Lloyd Allen, his topic is Stages of Faith, Killing Lesser Gods, which is based on the work and thoughts of Thomas Merton. And that'll wind up March. So until we see one another next time, dears, so good of you all to be here this morning. And the full notes for this and Chaitanya's prayer will be on the website soon. I think Cindy already posted a link to downloading the Chaitanya's prayer PDF in the chat section. So if you grab that, otherwise it'll be with the notes for this talk, probably by Wednesday at the latest, or Wednesday, Thursday, something like that. Any final thought from anybody? Okay.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, dears.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye, dears.
Bye-bye.